turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears, and behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. And this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he has spoken. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees, which has gone down in the sun dial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backward. So the sun returned 10 degrees, by which degrees it was gone down. That's the first time in the Bible that time change occurred right there. Welcome to time change, right? It's biblical. What can you say? Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for all that you've done. We're grateful for your blessings, and we're grateful for the opportunity that we have to look at your word. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, I understand my inability to help anyone. It is your word that truly makes a difference. And so, Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts by your Spirit through your word. And may you be glorified in every decision that we make. We love you. We thank you for all that you've done. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. During the Assyrian invasion, we notice that an event takes place that really shakes the southern kingdom, the kingdom of Judah. And that is that King Hezekiah becomes very sick. In fact, the Bible says in verse number 1 that Isaiah comes to Hezekiah, King Hezekiah, and tells him that God has said that this illness will take your life, that you are sick and you will die and you will not recover. The Bible says in this passage of Scripture that Hezekiah is told to put his affairs of his household in order. The Bible teaches us throughout the book of Isaiah that Hezekiah had become king after the reign of his godless father. And we know that from Scripture that Hezekiah was a good king. I mean, he wasn't a perfect king. He didn't do everything right. But he was a good king. And he did a lot of good things. He put into motion one of the greatest religious revivals in the history of the southern kingdom. Idols were destroyed. The temple in Jerusalem was repaired and it was rededicated for worship to the true God. The Mosaic covenant was renewed and the Passover was celebrated. I mean, Hezekiah was a king who honored and trusted in God. At this particular time, King Hezekiah was a young man when he received the news that he was going to die. He was about 39 years of age. He was a young man, and yet the Bible says in this passage of Scripture that he doesn't take the news well. In fact, the Scripture says that he becomes bitter in his soul because of the news that he's going to die. Now, I'm not sure why the young die. I mean, I think all of us would agree that it's not fair that young people pass away. And yet at the end of the day, listen, life isn't about getting what we deserve. Life is about getting the grace of God. And every morning we wake up is because of the mercy of God. When we look at the previous chapters in chapter 36 and 37, we notice the faith and the prayer of Hezekiah. I mean, he trusted in the Lord. He had faith in God. And yet we look at chapter 38, and really what we have to do is we have to place chapter 38 right in the middle of chapter 36 and 37, because during the invasion of the Assyrians, this event is taking place. I mean, here the Assyrians have captured all the cities surrounding Jerusalem. God's people runs to Jerusalem for safety. And the Bible says that during this time, Hezekiah hears word that he is going to die. And so the Bible says in verse number 2, then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and he prayed unto the Lord. The expression there that he turned his face toward the wall indicates that this prayer was directed to God and to God alone. And Hezekiah poured out his heart to the Lord. In verse number 3, we see here it says, and said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. I mean, we find in the scripture really just a fervent, real prayer unto the Lord. And how did God respond to this prayer of Hezekiah? Well, the Bible says that the Lord had mercy on him. I want us to turn to the New Testament, to the book of Philippians. Would you turn there? Philippians chapter 2 in your Bibles. Philippians chapter 2. And notice what the Bible says in verse number 25. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 25. The Bible says this, Philippians, the second chapter, the 25th verse, "Yet I suppose it necessary to send unto you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants, for he longed after you and was full of heaviness because that he had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death." But notice this, "But God had mercy on him, and not in him only, but on me also." The Bible says that God had mercy and compassion on Hezekiah. And we notice God's response through Isaiah, verse number 4. The Bible says, "Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer." Aren't you glad that God hears our prayers? God says, "I have heard thy prayer, and I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. God says, "Hezekiah, I heard your prayer, and I've seen your tears, and I will add to your life 15 years. You know, Hezekiah really was given two gifts. The first gift, he was given 15 years. But the second gift was that he knew that in 15 years, he was going to die. Could you imagine today if we knew that we were going to die in 15 years, what we would change in our life? Could you imagine today if you knew that you were going to die tonight, what you would do today, what you wouldn't do today? The reality is it would change our life. And this changed Hezekiah's life. You see, his life was never the same because of this message he received from the Lord. God says, "I'm going to deliver you, and I'm also going to deliver this city." Of course, he's talking about Jerusalem and Judah and God's help over the Assyrians. Now, this is a significant part in our Bible because when Hezekiah's health was recovered and restored, then Hezekiah knew that God was also going to protect Judah. Listen, I want us to understand this, that our trust in God is progressive. We don't wake up in the morning and we become a strong Christian that's trusting God in the difficult things of our life. Our trust is progressive. We trust God and we see God faithful in the little things in our life. And then we take steps forward and we keep moving forward. And God shows himself faithful and we take steps forward in our faith. And as we trust the Lord each day, God gives us answered prayer and confirms promises in our life. And these are really building blocks of faith in our life. I want us to go back to the book of 1 Samuel in the 17th chapter. It's a familiar passage of Scripture because this is David, which potentially this would be eventually, I should say, King David. He stands before Saul. And, you know, Saul has a giant problem. And David's saying, "I'm going to help you with this giant problem. I'm the guy that's going to be your answer." And the Bible says here in 1 Samuel 17, verse 32, "And David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, This servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." David said, God has been faithful to me, and God has delivered me from the mouth of a lion and the paw of a bear, and God is going to take care of me when it comes to this giant as well. You see, David's faith was progressive. As God showed himself faithful, David learned to trust in the Lord. And Hezekiah's trust grew as he saw the faithfulness of God in his life. In verse number 7, the Bible says, and this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he has spoken. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees, which is gone down in the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backward, so the sun returned 10 degrees, by which degrees it was gone down. The sign that God gave is that he would give Hezekiah more time. How important time is in our life. Friend, listen to me. To realize the value of 1 year, ask the student who failed a grade. To realize the value of 1 month, ask a mother who gave birth to a premature baby. To realize the value of 1 week, ask the editor of a weekly newspaper. To realize the value of 1 hour, ask the couple who are waiting to meet. To realize the value of 1 minute, ask the person who just missed his plane. To realize the value of 1 second, ask the person who just avoided that accident. To realize the value of 1 millisecond, ask the person who just won silver in the Olympics. Time is so important. The clock of life is wound but once, and no man has the power to tell just when the hand will stop at late or early hour. Now is the time, the only time you own. Live, love, toil with a will. Place no faith in tomorrow, for the clock may then be still. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians in the 5th chapter that we are to redeem our time. We are to buy it back, use it wisely, because the days are evil. I want us to notice some thoughts from our text here. And really, the next verses is a song of Hezekiah. And he's thanking God. He's praising the Lord for the time that God has allotted him with. And we're going to look at this song together, and I believe we're going to find some principles here for our life. If you're taking notes, I want you to write down number 1, the gravity of death. The gravity of death. The message of Hezekiah was God's work in his life. In fact, the Bible says in verse 15 of our text, it says, what shall I say? Hezekiah said, he hath both spoken unto me and himself have done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. Hezekiah said, there's nothing more to say. This is the very work of God. God has done it. Friends, listen to me. We need to understand this, that God is the giver and the taker of life. God is the giver and the taker of life. And every morning we wake up is a new opportunity to serve the Lord. You know, Hezekiah doesn't know much about beyond the grave. He lived before the promises of the new covenant. The promise that we have today to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And as he looks at his life and the shortness of his life, Hezekiah really illustrates his pending death in 3 ways. He says, first of all, it's like a tent being torn down. He says, it's like clothes being cut from a loom. It's like a lion attacking and crushing all of his bones. All of us live today with the threat of death, the possibility that we may die. No, I understand you came here to be encouraged. You say, Pastor Burns, this is not an encouraging message. I mean, you're telling us we're going to die. The Bible teaches us it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. You see, friends, one day we will all leave this old world. Our hearts will stop beating, our lungs will stop sucking air, and our pulse will fade. Hezekiah knew his time was short. In fact, he found it difficult to even look up to God because of the certainty of death had overcome him. The Bible says in verse 14, look what the scripture says, like a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove. Mine eyes fail with looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. You know, death has impacted all of us. I'm sure all of us today have experienced death in one way or another. A loved one that has passed away, a friend, a mom, a dad. Death brings pain and sorrow. Even the Lord Jesus, when he came to the grave of Lazarus and he met Mary and Martha, the Bible says, the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. His heart was broken because death is hard. It's emotional. Death is a burden. And yet the Bible says it is sure. You know, we can do everything that we want to not be confronted with our date with death. But at the end of the day, death is unavoidable. The Bible says this in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 5. For the living know that they shall die. But yet, how do we respond to the threat of death in our life? Well, if you're a Christian today, first of all, understand this. You don't have to fear death. You don't have to fear death. There's a wonderful passage of Scripture I want us to look at. It's in the book of Hebrews in the second chapter. Would you turn there with me? Hebrews chapter 2 in verse number 14. Hebrews chapter 2. If you have 2 Hebrews, you have the wrong Bible. Hebrews chapter 2 in verse 14. And notice what the Bible says in this Scripture here. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14. It says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. He," this is speaking of Jesus, "he also himself likewise took part of the same." This is speaking of the incarnation of Jesus. He became a man. God became a man and dwelt among us. "And through death he might destroy him that had the power of death," that is, the devil. "And deliver," verse 15, "and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." You see, one of the weapons of the devil is fear for death. And the devil is always dangling that in front of the lives of people. This burden, this fear that death brings. And yet the Bible says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Jesus took away and he destroyed the very power of death. By death, Christ won the victory. He conquered the devil by his very own enemy, his very own weapon. You think of the story of David and Goliath. When David conquered Goliath, what did he do? He took that sword of Goliath and he severed off his head. And here the Lord Jesus took the very weapon of Lucifer, death, and he destroyed his power. Through death, we have victory. And we don't have to fear death today if you're a child of God, because you are free from the very consequence of your sin. And we understand from the Bible, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We don't have to fear death. Letter B, death no longer has a sting. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 54, you listen as I read, "So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." If you're a child of God, listen, death cannot hurt those who are under the blood. Amen. Death cannot conquer those who are free in the Lord Jesus. I heard the story of a family who was driving around sightseeing on their vacation. It was a warm, clear summer day, and they were enjoying the breeze that was blowing through their rolled-down windows. And soon that peaceful drive was interrupted when a honeybee had flown into that open window and was buzzing around the car. Now, it wouldn't mean much for us, but there was a young girl in that car that was terribly allergic to bee stings. And she was screaming and squirming. And as the bee flew close, she was crying out to her father, "Daddy, Daddy, the bee, it's going to sting me." And so the father quickly pulled over the car and he began trying to get that bee under control, trying to push it out the open window, but he was unable to do so. And so he didn't want to anger the bee into accidentally stinging his daughter. And so he cornered that bee against the windshield. He trapped that bee and he grabbed it. And he waited for the inevitable sting to take place. And when he felt that sharp pain of the sting in his arm, he opened his hand and that bee began to fly around again. And that little girl began panicking again. "Daddy, it's going to fly and it's going to sting me." And the father showed the little girl his hands and said, "No, honey, that bee can't sting you now. Look at my hand." And he showed the little girl the stinger. And friend, listen to me. When the devil tries to put the threat of death over your head and tries to put that burden of death and that fear of death, just remember the sting in the hands of the Savior, his hands and his feet. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Death no longer has a sting because of the work of the Lord Jesus. But also think about this. Death is the doorway into the presence of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 8, we are confident. I hope you're confident today. I hope you're confident in the truth of the Bible. We are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You know, our bodies fail. You could have the strongest man in the world, and within 12 hours, he could be at the door of death. Because our bodies are but dust, and we are frail. And when our bodies fail us, the Bible says that we will be ushered into the presence of Jesus. Amen. We will see the Lord face to face. Death is the doorway into the very presence of Jesus Christ. But friend, don't miss this. Jesus is the doorway into heaven. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way to approach the Father but by me." Jesus is the only way. Letter D in our notes this morning, the certainty of death should draw us to God. The response of Hezekiah was for God to undertake for him. Listen, friend, I don't know when I'm going to die. I don't know when you're going to die. Only God knows those things. And I know that doctors can give a diagnosis, but God has the final say. Amen. He's the giver and taker of life. But I truly believe that for a child of God, when that time comes that we are to cross over into the presence of the Lord, that God will give to us a special grace at that very time. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, in Psalm 23, in verse number 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me." God is with us the whole journey, right to the very end. Number two, if you're taking notes, would you write this down? The gift of life. The gift of life. The Bible says in our text, in verse 16, "O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So wilt thou recover me and make me to live. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, because thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back." God had blessed Hezekiah with more time, more life. Time is what we are to use for the glory of God. We are to redeem our time. And God not only healed Hezekiah from his physical ailment, but from the scripture that we read, he also helped him with the anguish of his soul. His trust and faith in God was restored. again, he begins to look to the Lord. And many Bible scholars believe that verse 17 speaks of the fact that Hezekiah's illness was because of a particular sin that he had committed. And God was chastening him, and God was getting his attention. There's no doubt about it. It was God that was doing the work. But understand this, that not all sickness is the result of direct sin. Just because someone's sick doesn't mean that God is chastening them. And we understand this from the New Testament when the disciples saw the lame man and said, "Who sinned, him or his parents?" And Jesus said, "Neither, but that the glory of God might be revealed in his life." Now we understand that not all sickness is a result of direct sin, but we do know that sin is the indirect cause of sickness in our life. Because of sin, we will all die. And there's a couple of thoughts that we have to understand in this scripture. First of all, I want us to realize, letter A, God gives us the gift of eternal life. God gives us the gift of eternal life. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." Because of sin, we are separated from God. Someone said to me many years ago, they said, "Well, I don't believe I'm a sinner." I said, "Well, just do one thing then. Don't die." Because the Bible says in Romans 5:12 that because of sin, death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. The reality is we will die because we are sinners. And we are separated from God because of our sin. We cannot have a relationship with Almighty God because we are spiritually dead. And Jesus came so that we can be born again, so our spirit could have a pulse again and life again. And those who put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, they have that forgiveness of sins. They are born again. Their spirit is made alive, and they have a relationship with God. Ephesians 2 verse 8 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." This wonderful gift allows us to have a relationship with Almighty God. We can pray, and God, the Creator, hears our prayer. It's incredible. And friend, today we don't have to fear death. We don't have to fear the threat of death. Death has no more sting because we are free from the very consequences of our sin. Our sins are washed away. The Bible says that we are free in Jesus Christ. Not only does God give us the gift of eternal life, but also God gives us the gift of time on earth. The Bible puts it this way in Ephesians 5 verse 16. It says, "Redeeming the time because the days are evil." You know, I don't know how many days or years we have left. I know that it's going to be different for each of us. And yet the reality is that we are not to waste the time we have. It's not a prayer, "Lord, give me more time." Our prayer should be, "Lord, let me use the time I have for your glory. Let me use the time that you have given me to glorify your name." Do not squander the opportunities. You see, if you love life, then don't squander time. Because time is what life is made from. Every moment that you have is a gift from God. And Hezekiah spent his days in bitterness of soul. When he heard that he was going to die, I mean, he couldn't rest. He didn't have peace. He couldn't even look upward to God. I mean, this burden was so great upon his heart. And when God gave him more time, he says, You have recovered, you have restored me from the pit of corruption. You had given me a different perspective. Friend, listen to me. Life is too short to live for yourself. Life is too short to live in bitterness. Life is too short to live your life in fear. And the message of the Bible is trust in God and use the opportunities, the time that God gives you for his glory. And Hezekiah learned that lesson. 15 more years, I'm going to use them for the Lord. Number three, we'll close with this if you're taking notes. The gratitude for life. The gratitude for life. The Bible says in verse 18, "For the grave cannot praise thee, Death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The Father to the children shall make known thy truth. The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore will we sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. The message of the Bible is while we have life on this earth, we should praise the Lord. The days of our life should be spent in gratitude to God for the opportunities that we have. This was Hezekiah's mindset. It's the Lord that has done this. It's for His purpose. It's for His glory. And so we see, first of all, in verse 18 of our notes, we should make decisions for God while we can. We should make decisions for God today. Listen, gratitude for life should be expressed in obedience to God. Gratitude in life or for life should be expressed in our obedience to God. Make decisions for the Lord today. You know, anytime we hear a sermon or anytime we hear truth or read the Bible, we always have the opportunity to respond. And you know, you can walk out the doors and, you know, you can treat church and sermons and reading the Bible as tradition and never allow it to impact your life. But I hope it's not tradition to you. I hope it's transformation. I hope you allow the Spirit of God to teach you, to make you closer to Him. And so we always come to this opportunity to say, Lord, what do you want for me? Lord, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? Say yes to Jesus today and look to Him. And this is the response of Hezekiah. For the grave cannot praise thee. Death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down to the pit cannot hope for thy truth. Here he says, listen, I'm going to follow your truth for my life while I have opportunity on this earth. And then letter B, we should preach His truth. Look what the Bible says. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The Father to the children shall make known thy truth. Listen, truth is for those that live. I remember when I first became a pastor, Pastor Clayton, who I worked under for many years. We were at a funeral. And I remember him telling me this. He said, remember that funerals are for the living, not for the dead. You need to preach the truth. Preach what the Bible says. Truth is for the living. And the Bible says in this passage of Scripture, The living shall praise thee as I do this day. The Father to the children shall make known thy truth. God help us today to take time this day to tell others of the truth of the Word of God. To talk about God and His goodness in our life. You know, friend, we don't gather together for church to talk about all of the bad things the government has done. That's not the purpose for church. We gather together to talk about all the good things God has done in our life. That's the purpose of church. That's why we're here. Truth is for the living. And Hezekiah realized this. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The Father to the children shall make known thy truth. I have to tell other people about the goodness of God in my life. And then let her see, we should live for His kingdom. The Bible says in verse 20, the Lord was ready to save me. Therefore will we sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of the needs of life will be added unto you. You see, when we focus our life on the Lord, God will take care of the rest. And this is what Hezekiah had learned. Hezekiah had learned the most important thing in life, to put God first, to praise His name, to focus his attention on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He says, I will spend the rest of my days, which, by the way, is 15 years, I will spend the rest of my days praising the Lord in His house. Listen, friends, death is certain for all of us. And the thing with death is it doesn't matter if you're young or you're old. It is no respecter of persons. The threat of death should not stop the child of God, because God has given us victory today. And God has done a work in our life, and we are to live for His glory. Even under the shadow of death, we are victors in Jesus Christ. The glory or the gravity of death, the gift of life, and the gratitude for life is what Hezekiah learned in this wonderful book in our Bible. And I believe God is teaching us the same thing today, to have a biblical perspective of life and death. And to know that God is in control of our death. You know what? I know this. I'm not going to die until God says it's time to come home. Not a minute before and not a minute after. God help us today to look to the Lord. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we're thankful for all that you've done in our life. We're grateful for the time that we can look at your word and be reminded of your truth. Lord, it is your truth. It is for our life. And I pray you would help us to connect the dots. I pray, Lord, you would help us to apply it to our life and to be reminded of these truths. We're grateful for your mercy in our life. The opportunity that we've had even this morning to wake up is because of your grace and mercy, and we're thankful for it. I pray you would help us to make good use of our time for your glory. I pray you would help us to take the opportunities that you give to us. I pray that you would direct us and guide us and use our life, I pray. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to take our hymn books together, 347, if you would turn there. 347 is our benediction. When you find it, let's stand together. And we're going to sing, Tell It to Jesus, Tell It to Jesus. 347, the first and the last. Let's stand and sing on that first verse together. 347. Are you weary?